Welcome back, episode 36.
No idea. It's been a month.
It's been a month. I'm thinking 36 though.
Good 36s. It's just a garbage number.
Yeah, but episode 36 is brought to you by Weed Man Lawn Care. They don't mow lawns. They don't mow lawns, but they are kid and eco friendly weed killer. Used by a lot of your top lawn care services. So if you're interested in using the Weed Man Lawn Care service, call them at 651-796-2346 and tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you. So it's been a month. The draft happened. A couple other things happened, but for the most part, I feel we'll touch on the draft.
Yeah. Only small. I mean, the schedule came out. We'll talk about that maybe like in a future episode.
Yep.
Thielen got an extension.
You and Rennie got beat on a fake Rudolph extension tweet.
Yep. We don't need to talk about that. You know, it didn't make sense. You know, I was trying to like figure out why we would ever extend Rudolph, but he didn't because it was a fake. Yep, it was a fake Ian Rappaport tweet.
Exactly. And like extend, no, but restructure would have made more sense. We wouldn't have been happy about it, but it would have made more sense than an extension.
There's no way to restructure him where I wouldn't be happy with, unless it was an extension.
That's true.
If we restructure him, that literally just means you took a pay cut because you have, he has 1 year.
Yeah, you took a pay cut and we added a year to you.
Yeah, which that would actually, I don't know, I guess that's fine.
But for,
I'd rather he just take a straight up pay cut.
True, but that's not going to happen.
No. Well, it's, maybe, I don't know.
Potentially, but a lot of people talk about him as top 10 tight end. I mean,
a lot of Patriot fans want him.
Yeah.
Because he's big and white.
Yeah. Reminds him of Gronk.
I would prefer he stays on the team.
I would too. I know the only reason why kind of we talk about, you know, pay cut or extension is because we still need, what, $1 million to sign Bradberry?
Yeah, Bradberry's the only guy we can't sign.
Yep. And
but again, I just keep thinking, like, there's so many ways to open up $2 million. Yeah. Again, just Kirk Cousins, hey, we'll turn $3 million of your salary into a signing bonus.
Yep, and then you get that.
It hurts next year a little bit. It helps us this year. Like, you can do that with, like, so many different guys, so.
Yeah. And then next year when you need the $3 million again,
just do it again. Every other team does this. For some reason, the Vikings don't like to do that though. So maybe they would end up doing something different.
It's probably because they like going into the season the next year, going, all right, this is the cap we have. Let's not dick around.
With don't want to make a habit out of it. You end up like the Steelers where you just never have money.
Yep. Or the Saints with Drew Brees next year. They own like $44 million.
And then you got to figure out how you're going to get out of that one. Yeah. So I don't know. So I feel like they'll just do some random move that won't matter and all of a sudden we'll be fine.
Yep.
But there's so many, it's so funny reading Twitter, like all these fans that are like, how are we going to get another cap? How are we signing all these guys? Why is he trading down for more picks when we can't pay him? And it's like,
okay, for the most part, the last 5-6 picks we had don't count against the salary cap.
I'm pretty sure everyone on day 3 didn't count because they're cheaper than the 51st guy. So right perfect. Now it's literally just Bradberry.
Yeah.
Which we probably should, you know, find a way to sign him.
And I'm actually surprised that we didn't make a move before the rookie minicamp. I kind of figured we'd want to see him in pads
I think he still was able to participate. They just signed some waiver.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it really... Like, there's tons of players that aren't signed. Not Vikings. I think we signed everyone but...
Everyone but Bradberry.
And the long snapper.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he's still working out. We'll get to the long snapper pick, by the way. That's
the greatest pick of the entire draft.
But yeah, why don't we go start from the beginning with first pick?
So we'll start from the beginning and we had Bradberry and Dillard on the board.
Yeah, I think that's the big... Me and you, at the time of the pick, were like, let's take Dillard.
Yep.
And draft expert Rennie wanted Bradberry.
Yep.
But like, we certainly weren't against Bradberry.
No, the only reason why we were wanting Dillard is for the positional
value. And what's funny is, thinking about it more, like, I feel like it would have been a little riskier. Like, I just don't see how Bradberry can be a miss. He's a perfect fit for our scheme. He, like, it just seems like he's everything you would want. But he's not a left tackle. Like, that was the downside.
And the thing with Bradberry is, like, yeah, the worst thing he is a good starter. I mean, the dude's got all pro potential. Like, it.
Yeah.
I mean, either there's no way he's going to be bad, in my opinion. Like, I just don't see it with this zone scheme. And a lot of. And I heard, or I was reading some that the reason why we went Bradberry over Dillard is because in the zone scheme, the center is the most important piece on the line.
And I could buy that. Yeah. And also, Elflein was really bad.
Yep.
Like, I know he was hurt and stuff, but like, Reef was a much better left tackle than Elflein was the center.
Yeah.
And not that Reef was amazing, but
No, but I mean, if you're trying to put your best five guys together
for this season,
you keep Reef where he's at, and maybe you shuffle Elflein over to left guard, or maybe Elflein's healthy and he plays center, and Bradbury starts.
I really hope Bradbury's the center. I do too. I just hope they give him the job center. Don't mess with this. Elflein was fine in college as a guard his first 2 years, so move him back to guard.
Yeah, you look back at his Pro Football Focus grade. They were better. They were better as guard by like 6-7 points.
I think the argument for Dillard is just the left tackle ability, but then it's like maybe we see O'Neal as our future left tackle.
I always thought that's what if I remember correctly, last year that's what we did. He's a right tackle, but we're gonna try and groom him to be our future left.
I mean, his body type is definitely left tackle.
Yeah,
and then another thing too is I know Zimmer and mostly Zimmer had talked about getting like nastier on the line and getting like a little more attitude. Yeah. Bradbury has that. Dillard is a little softer. He's a pass protector, not a great run blocker. So like, I think like style wise, scheme wise, all of that was Bradbury.
Yeah.
Just the positional in a conventional offense, maybe in the zone scheme, maybe center is more important. But that was the only reason me and you kind of were like, let's take Dillard here.
Exactly.
And then we took Bradbury and we're like, fuck yeah, Bradbury. Yep. Okay, that's awesome.
We got somebody we liked.
The board fell to us really well. Like there was plenty of linemen. I mean, I think the only one that went was Lindstrom went to the Falcons, Lindstrom, and Jonah Williams went to
the Bengals. Which was really weird, because usually once linemen start falling past 10, there's a run.
Yeah.
There's usually a big run. You know, people are training up to get them, and, you know, we just kind of sat there, and we must have looked ahead and go, all right, you know, after the Bengals, it's the Falcons and the Panthers. Falcons took Lindstrom, so then it's like, all right.
Surprising pick, too, with Lindstrom. I kind of thought they would go, I don't know, even Bradbury there. Like, more than...
Well, they've got Alex Mack.
I know, but even just... I just think Bradbury was a better prospect than than Lindstrom. But maybe they're looking for more of a pure guard. Yeah. That's what it was.
And
but.
So, yeah, I mean... So Lindstrom goes to the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Then you're kind of looking, and it's like, all right, the Redskins might take an offensive line, but they're pretty set.
And the problem is Haskins fell right to them. Yep. And that's who they wanted. The Daniel Jones thing really helped because it made the quarterbacks that Washington wanted, at least the one, fall to them. And then who was the other early pick that was surprising?
Farrell.
Yeah, Clelin Ferrell was another guy, so it kind of made those linemen fall. And like you said, so it got to the Redskins, they took Haskins, and then the Panthers were the other one that was like, they're going to take a lineman.
Yeah.
I thought Dillard, and then I thought, okay, cool, Bradbury will fall to us. And they took
Brian Burns,
edge rusher. Edge guy, so yeah, that was
surprising. So he must have been just rated much higher than Dillard.
Yeah, and they did have a need, so it's just, I mean, they don't
really. And then who was 17?
The team right in front of us?
Yeah.
That was the Giants.
The Giants.
The Browns traded their pick to the Giants.
And they took Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah. Which is, again, another surprising
pick. Yeah, because, I mean, after, you know, it's like, okay, so Dillard's there, Bradbury's there, Juwan James is there.
Mm-hmm. Juwan Taylor.
So you've got all those linemen there, and it's like, all right, they just picked their quarterback. They've kind of got a soft offensive line. They'll add another one here. And they took Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you got Dillard and Bradbury there, and it's like, all right, pick your poison.
Yeah.
You want the left tackle or you want the center? We took the center, and I mean, great. Love it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. What's funny too about the Giants is, was that the team before us, the Giants?
Yep.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say now, though. But anyways, Bradbury, Dillard, other guys that were there that I would have like been cool with, Hollywood Brown.
Noah Font.
Noah Font. But now, like, it's funny, then you go to the second round, you had to take a lineman in the first round. Like, that's the thing where you don't know until the second round. Like, if all of a sudden, who's some of the other linemen that fell? Like,
there was McCoy, there was Jenkins.
Yep, Taylor. All those guys went before our second pick. It literally was like, who was the best guy on the board in the second? It was Michael Dieter.
Dieter, and then who did the Texans take? Mitch Hyatt was there?
No, the Texans took...
no, not Hyatt.
Rodney Kajus, was it? Someone took him. The fucking Texans took Titus Howard like two picks after us. Titus, is that his name?
Yeah, because they got sniped from Dillard. The Eagles traded up to get Dillard.
Like, that's where you would, like, I would have been super annoyed with the linemen. Had there been a run early, and then we leave guys on the board that are like, you know, a Montez Sweat or someone like that, and we take Titus Howard. Like, I would have been like,
really?
You reached bad. Like, if I'm a Texans fan, I'm like, we were a pick away from Dillard. From a guy, like a top 15 guy falling, and so we took a guy that everyone said was a second round pick.
And with the Texans, you know, you have such a blatant need at left tackle. When Dillard falls past the Vikings, how are you not on the phone? Why are you waiting for him to fall to you? How are you not trying to move up? All right, this is the guy.
The only thing you can think is that maybe they had Dillard and Howard rated close and they took them. You know, because that's... I hate to act like we know anything. Because the NFL teams don't really know. Well, so it's like
I saw some clip from the Senior Bowl of Titus Howard playing right tackle. Forgot who it was on edge. But just bowled over Titus Howard with one arm. Like, he just went up and kind of, like, shoved him over. And the dude fell on his back. He was like, oh, boy.
But, like, could Howard end up being better than Dillard? Sure. We don't know. It's like, had we taken Michael Thomas in the first round and let Treadwell fall past us, people would have been like, they could have got him in the second. What are they doing? Yeah. But turns out Michael Thomas is like 100 times better than Laquan Treadwell. Now, there were some people that liked Thomas. You liked Thomas.
I like Thomas.
But for the majority would have been like, why did they take Michael Thomas when Laquan Treadwell was available?
The reason why I got big into Thomas that year, though, is because like Treadwell was not getting past like 15 in all the mock drafts.
Right.
So it's like, well, I'm not even going to pay attention to Treadwell. Mm-hmm. Like, let's look at the guys that
actually will be there.
Like the Doxon, the Fuller, Mike Thomas. It's like, oh, Mike Thomas I like over everyone else. But
when
we took Treadwell, it was like, dude, we got a 20-year-old stud. Like, yes, please.
Yeah. Someone was posting all his comps back in that draft. Literally, it's just like DeAndre Hopkins.
See? So, like,
No one knows anything. And, like, that draft, what? Corey Coleman sucks. Josh Doxon. Like, I wanted Josh Doxon. That's what I wanted. Yep. He sucks. Laquan Treadwell sucks.
Will
like,
Fuller's always hurt. I mean, he's good, but he's always
and
hurt.
And he is what people thought he was. He runs fast, straight.
Which actually would kind of fit for us what we wanted right now. But he went before Treadwell, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah. But anyways, back to, so like, when you look at the second round, if I'm redoing the draft, there's only two choices. It's Bradbury or Dillard.
Yep.
Because I can't take Hollywood, even though much I love Hollywood Brown, I'm not taking him and then in the second round taking...
Dieter.
You're basically probably going to take like Drew Samia, who we got two rounds later. Like,
yeah.
Because you want a zone fit and...
And we were talking about that during the draft too. Like, we were watching the board fall, and I think Jenkins and McCoy went before us, and we looked at each other like, if we didn't take Bradbury, who do you want right now?
It would have been a disaster at the second round. And then it works out perfectly because, you know, like you said, like Noah Font would have been a cool pick. But give me Irv Smith in the second, way over Noah Font in the first.
Exactly. Like, Bradbury, Irv Smith over Noah Font, Hollywood, and Dieter. You know, like, it's just, you got a player in the second round who you and I value so much more than all those other guys.
It was Max Sharping. That's who the Texans took in the second round. That's the next lineman to go after we took Irv Smith. And then there's no lineman for quite a while. Oh, my gosh. Michael Dieter, the third round. So,
it was Bradbury.
We played the board well. Yeah. Have you taken, like, a Montez Sweat? I don't know. Was he still available? I
think Sweat was. Yeah, because he went 26.
Or if you take any position other than offensive line, and all of a sudden that board falls to you in the second round, you royally fucked up.
And I remember reading on Twitter the night of the first round, after the first round was over, I think it was Schefter, but he's like, I'm already hearing rumblings of a run of linemen early in the second round.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it like four or five linemen in the first like 11 picks in the second round?
Well, Juwan Taylor went. It went two corners, and then Juwan Taylor, then Debo, but then Greg Little, Cody Ford. So the three that were kind of right Little there. Was more of a second rounder, but Cody Ford and Juwan Taylor were two that was like, whoa, I can't believe they're still available.
No.
Taken right away.
No.
So, Dalton Risner, taken pretty quickly after that. Yeah. And then it's Elgin Jenkins, Eric McCoy. And that's all the good ones.
All the guys that I would have wanted in the second are now gone.
Yeah.
Before
and that's
we even are on
all the guys that people that, you know, were doing the fan speak mocks and the Draft Network mocks that are like, well, you could take
Hollywood in the first.
You'll just get Chris Lindstrom in the second.
Yeah.
Not good.
Nope.
Not good.
Or you can get Caleb McGarry. Nope.
It's kind of similar to even last year, only the run happened right in front of us in the first pick. And now it's like, yeah, you could have took Will Hernandez or what's the Corbett.
Yep.
And we didn't. And then by the second, it was like, we took some dude named Brian O'Neill. Like, who's this guy?
And
worked out really well.
I wonder if, I don't know much about Corbett, but I know Hernandez for sure isn't a zone fit. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if we took one of those guys and they don't fit our scheme and all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, we can't really, they're not going to be what we thought they were because they don't fit the zone anymore. Well, or they don't fit zone.
This feels like the first year that we have a real plan on offense that like is like, this is our scheme. I don't know, it's weird, like, because thinking back, like, even last year, like, I didn't know what DeFilippo was looking for.
No, I didn't. I mean, you watch the Eagles, and it's like, you know, some trick plays, some flashy plays, but they seem to run the ball a decent amount.
Yeah.
But that must have been all Reich and Peterson, because DeFilippo did not like to run the ball.
Yeah, I guess I just don't, like, remember. I don't even remember what Shermer liked, because now he's with the Giants, and it's not a pure zone there, because he's drafting, like, heavy, you know, like Solder is pretty big.
Will
Hernandez is a big guy, like a mauler. So I just, it seems like this is the first year where we literally came in with like, these are the type of players we want. Just very similar to how we do it on defense. Because defense
it's the
is,
first year since like Childress, it seems like, where it's like, all right, these are the kind of guys we want.
Yeah.
The, just the big maulers, the big nasty, McKinney, Hutchinson, Burke, Lodeholt. Who's right guard?
Herrera. Anthony Herrera.
I was going to say.
He was a big nasty. Yeah. Like, Childress, you know, he actually came in with like somewhat of a, like, I'm going to run a cover two defense. And I'm going to run like a power run game with, well, it was Chester Taylor, I think, the first year. But obviously he wanted a star running back back there.
Well, I don't even know if he wanted a star running back, but when Adrian Peterson falls to you, you take him.
Well, and I think that was like the type of offense he wanted. So it's like, this works out really well. Yeah. That this the best running back in the draft in a decade.
I want to go back. I want to go back and watch that draft and kind of like relive like how what I was thinking. And like, what did like
I was
the
at work.
Like the Cardinals took Levi Jones, number six, right in front of us.
Yep.
Like,
bad pick.
But you know, it makes sense. You know, build the line, build it back. You know, you got Kurt Warner.
Yeah, the problem is when players are bad. That's always the funny thing too. Is like you can't. Everyone's bitching like the third round pick. You know,
yeah, let's move to the third. I mean, well, we haven't even touched on our script yet. But yeah, everyone's
bitching. Like, just the positional thing. Like, we don't need a running back. It's like, okay, would you rather have us draft a position of need and the guy sucks, or like just draft a good player? Like, eventually they'll play, especially after the first couple rounds. Like, I would have been a little annoyed if we took a running back in the first round.
Yes.
But like, this guy's going to play a lot. So and like, they took, like you said, Levi Jones ahead of Adrian Peterson. It probably was a big need and probably made a lot of sense at the time, but the dude was not a good player.
Yeah.
And no one knows who's the good players yet.
I know. See, and like, you and I, like, we did a lot of work on the draft. We like a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Three quarters of those guys probably aren't
going
to be good.
Well, that's funny. The first round was going on, and it's like, we're watching it. It's like, most of these players will not be good.
Yep. Yep.
And like everyone talking about them just talks about how awesome they are, because it's like you're watching highlights, you're reading about them. Like, no one is like, well, this guy's going to suck. This guy's going to suck. But like, no, like, at least half of the first round will be garbage.
Yeah, and it's funny, on Twitter that night, somebody goes, God, sounds like everyone got an all-pro player in the first round this year.
Well, it just makes people that bitch and just say, like, you know, they're act like they know, like, oh, that was a bad pick. It's like, well, how do you know?
Yeah,
you know, like, even the Texans taking Titus Howard, like, if he's good.
It wasn't a bad pick.
Now,
did they quote-unquote
that's
reach?
The thing. That's the argument they'll make is, like, well, like, with Daniel Jones. If he's good, that's great and all. But could you have gotten him at 17 instead of 6?
Schefter claims he wouldn't have gone before 30 when he got the last pick.
But now, I probably think Schefter's telling the truth there because he's got good sources and stuff. But, like, no, you don't know.
In real time, you do not know that.
If the Giants like him that much, you don't know if a team behind you likes him a lot. The problem is that was the theory of Ponder, though. It was like, we got to take him because Washington likes him.
But then again, you know, we always see that. But Washington traded out of 10.
And they probably did like him. Problem is, he's a bad player.
Yeah.
So it's like, just draft good players. Yeah. And no one really knows. And that's also the thing when they bitch about Spielman trading back so much. It's like, oh, they should have took Connor McGovern. He was sitting right there. What if Connor McGovern's not good?
Yeah.
Like, everyone, like, most of the smart people talk about how, like, it's a crapshoot. So, like, you might as well get as many lottery tickets as you can.
Yep.
And then he does that. And all these fucking same people saying that are like, oh, I took a bunch of bombs. And it's like, what the hell? Like, he literally did what you think everyone should do, because no one knows who's good or not.
And, like, when we get to the second round, we took Irv Smith.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in the room was like, who do you want? Oh, Irv Smith. So we took Irv Smith, and, like, that is huge, I think, for the
offense. Well, it was literally on when it was our pick, everyone of our group watching the draft was like, Irv Smith. That's who we should take here. Irv Smith.
Who else?
Was he in our original top 20s?
Our original top 20s, yes.
He was. Okay. Yep. And I think his stock kind of fell a little bit. He wasn't as hyped as much, but with the way the board fell, like, literally, I didn't see any other choice. Like, if they would have went somewhere else with that pick,
it depends
who it was, but, like, who else could they have taken there that you'd have been like, oh, cool, DK?
DK,
who went, like, a little bit later.
Yep. I guess if you go McGovern or Samia, I'm not mad about it.
Which is funny, because, like, you end up getting him later.
Yeah.
You don't get McGovern, but, like.
And, like, so we'll go from second round, Irv Smith. We both like. A lot of people are kind of like, seem to be upset that we didn't grab a third receiver to replace Treadwell. Lest you forget that Irv Smith catches the ball very well and has some good speed for a tight end.
I think the thing is, like, that's on offense at least, like, that's the one thing we didn't really do, is like get that third receiver. But it was kind of an either or thing. Like, you're either going to get a second tight end, or you're going to get a third receiver.
And I think
The tight end's a better like matchup play.
Yeah, because it seems like Stefanski likes to run a lot of two tight end sets. Mm-hmm. He's got now, and what I was talking to Nick the other day, it's like you can do so much with Irv Smith and Rudolph. You can have them both in line. You can have one in line, one out wide, one in line, one in the slot, vice versa. You get, like I was even talking, you can take Irv Smith and use him like the Patriots did Aaron Hernandez. Use him as a little H-back. Motion him out.
His body type is like made for an H-back role.
Yeah. You can put him, start him in the backfield, motion him out, figure out the defense. Like,
I hope we keep Rudolph. Because I think, like, again, I think we both agreed we needed a better tight end. Because Rudolph is kind of, at this point in his career, big, tall, red zone guy, runs five-yard hooks, doesn't do much besides that. Irv Smith can do way more than that. He can actually run up the seam. He can, like you said, line up in the backfield, move him around. He's way more, like, has more agility, like, ability to, like, move around. Rudolph's pretty lumbered at this point. But I like having both of them. Like, and even Morgan, where you can, like, rotate him in. You can bring them both out, put them on the end. What do they counter with? What's the defense do? Did they go 4-3 defense? Dude, and now they're on linebackers?
Yeah.
Like, Rudolph can destroy a linebacker. He just run up and he's taller than you. Well, Irv Smith should be able to beat a linebacker. Okay, so do they come out nickel? Run the ball. Just run them over.
Or what, you're going to run big nickel? I mean, still, Rudolph and Irv Smith tower over, you know, a safety.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah, it's a super good matchup thing. I think Corey Chavis was on with PA, and he was talking about how you can, you know, you come out and you put them out wide, and you put Diggs and Thielen in the slot. And now you know right away if they're in man or zone, because there's going to be the corners that usually will be on the outside will not be on the outside. They're not going to put their best corner on Irv Smith and put some linebacker on Thielen. So just, and then, you know, once you see that, you can motion them back in, or you can do all kinds of stuff where you're just getting tells from the defense.
Yeah. And I had just thought about this. That's even a nice little three tight end set. Smith, Rudolph, and Morgan.
Yeah.
Either Diggs or Thielen. Who, like, if you are for sure going to run the ball, like, or you want to call a run play, you put in your best run blocking receiver. And if you don't like look, audible out, you still got three quality pass catchers on the field.
Oh, yeah. Even, like, you know, third ones and you want them to think you're running. You come out with Morgan, Irv Smith, Rudolph, and then you bootleg. And you've got, like, Morgan, I know he's not, like, he's no Irv Smith or Rudolph, but, like, he can catch the ball. He can run a route.
Yeah, and he...
Even Conklin.
A lot, yeah, Conklin too. But we used Morgan a lot at the beginning of the year where he stayed in line and he just did that thing when we rolled out where he dropped 3 yards deep and just turned around.
Yep, and just waited in case that's like the last resort. And a couple times Cousins hit him. He broke a tackle, got the first down.
Yep. So
I like how we went offense heavy because we had done a few. We've been sending mock drafts back and forth to each other and like it was like we did a couple that were just all offense.
Yeah.
And it's like this actually makes a lot of sense because our defense is fine.
Like, as much as we want a three tech, you always go back to 2 years ago when we had Tom Johnson as our three tech, and our defense was just as good as it was last year, if not better statistic-wise.
Yeah, it was actually probably better. And now, I'm not going to say it was better because we had Tom Johnson and Sheldon Richardson, but, no, but it's like you can... We've talked about, like, Zimmer, you have, like, 10 star players. Like, you have so many good players. Like, you'll find a way to have a good defense.
Yeah.
So, like, if you've got one hole on your team, whereas... I like how they kind of were just like, let's help Kirk Cousins. Let's make sure that like this team
is... He's our $84 million man. Yeah. Let's not have the fan base completely turn against him. Like, let's help this guy. We thought he had enough help around him last year. He didn't.
Yeah.
Now let's give him the help that he needs.
Yeah. So, Bradbury first round.
Irv Smith.
Yeah,
Irv Smith. And then we go to pick 81.
Mm-hmm.
Where this Vikings were sitting.
Yeah, this is where it got fun. Bitching and stuff.
This is where, for the two of us, this is where it got fun.
Yeah, I don't know why people are complaining so much. Because you know what's funny? You take Drew Samir right there and end the night, fans love it.
Yep.
Oh, we got Bradbury in the first, we got a tight end in the second, and we got another lineman.
Remember, 81, we're sitting at coming up to 81, and you're like, Ryan, who do you want? I go, I want Samia. And we move back four picks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, look at that. And then all of a sudden we look back and, you know, Vikings are on the are getting close and our name's gone. And it's like, oh, we traded out again.
Yeah, just kept doing it.
Yep, and then it's like, oh, we just went back one spot. And it's like, Vikings are, nope, we traded back again. And it's like, okay, all right. We must like a guy, but also at the same time, or we must not like anyone there and just want more picks. And then we get up to 102 and it's like, all right, we're getting to 102. We're not going to trade out at 102, right? Like, we're going to
end the last pick of the third. It's like, please don't do it. We waited all night long just to watch
the second. Yeah, we're ready to go out and gamble. We're in Vegas. We're ready to go out, shoot the craps, But
just kept making us wait, And people, I think, are mostly pissed because they want us to take Connor McGovern.
No.
And it's like, maybe they liked Sammy more.
Maybe they liked Madison more. Same.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they clearly liked Madison a lot.
Yeah.
But I think they were like, we can get another lineman later, and we can get a bunch of other crap. Because, like, both these guys we don't think are going right now.
Yeah.
So let's trade down. But, like, so definitely Madison was a player I hadn't watched
much. I hadn't watched much of him either, but I know you pulled him up after we took him. I pulled him up after we took him.
To watch some highlights. Yeah.
Huge fan. Love him. Oh, but our room went, we went crazy when we took Madison. Remember? We were like, loved Alexander him. Madison. I don't know. I got him. I was like, oh yeah, great pick. Great star pick. Player, loved him. Star
player. I don't even know who we wanted when that pick was going on. I don't think we really.
You asked me. I wanted Sammy, huh?
Yeah. And I think I was like, I don't know.
Like, yeah. You. I was like, who do you want? You're like, best player.
Yeah. Like someone that's decent.
But yeah. So I wanted Sammy. Yeah. So. But we take Alexander Mad Dog Madison. That's his nickname. Mad We're calling Dog him Mad Madison. Dog. We're going to, you know, in memory of the Secretary of Defense.
What's funny, there's people bitching on Twitter like, you know, what's the point of a backup running back? What position, what player would you have taken in the third round that would have been a starter day one? Three tech? But I don't think anyone would have beat out Jaleel or Jalen Holmes.
I don't either.
On day one. So then you could maybe go interior line again. After the Bradbury pick, I don't think there's someone that's immediately better than Elfline.
No, and like that's and the thing. Like his name
was probably Samia.
I wanted Samia, but at the same time, do I think right off the bat he beats out Elfline or Klein? No. Potentially, does he beat out Elfline? Yeah, but.
But I mean, who would play more snaps next season? Assuming Madison wins the Murray role. I don't think it's a position on the team that you would have taken in the third round that will have a bigger impact next season.
Unless it's a third receiver. A good third
receiver. And even then, I feel like it's very similar.
Yeah,
because true. Cook can't stay healthy.
And
Murray played quite a bit. And if we're going to go a heavy two tight end sets.
I was just saying, we just took Irv Smith. So, I mean, all of a sudden you're doubling up. You're taking snaps away from one or the other.
Exactly. And, you know, I think Irv Smith should be on the field a lot more than I do what third receiver would have been there.
Oh, the huge one that everyone was upset about, that we took Mad Dog over Hakeem Butler.
Everyone was
furious.
Again, we'll see. Yeah. NFL teams did not like Hakeem Butler.
No, we liked Butler, but I mean, obviously as the board's fallen, you know, you get, like, I like Butler over Debo. Debo goes in the early second round. I like Butler probably just as much as Paris Campbell. Boom, went two rounds after.
I'd like to see where I had Butler.
Hakeem Butler. I mean, I like Metcalf way more than Butler, but Metcalf, a receiver I liked, went end of the second round.
Yeah, I had Hakeem Butler fifth. So I like Andy Isabella more. I like A.J. Brown more. I like DK Metcalf more. I like Hollywood Brown more. I mean, if we'd have taken him, I'd have been excited. But again, it's like, how are you going to get snaps for Hakeem Butler and Irv Smith?
Unless you're cutting Rudolph.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't. For like the locker room standpoint, I think that is one of the huge reasons why Rudolph has been staying around or is staying around.
Is he now the longest, or is it Everson Griffin?
Rudolph, I think, was taken in the Ponder draft. Yeah. So Griffin is
the longest, but Rudolph's one of the longest. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. And
you know, he wears that sweatshirt, you know, lots of game left. A lot of game left.
I
saw that, yeah.
I know we like Mike Boone, but maybe if the Vikings, like, we like him based off, and I still like him. That's fine. But like, the Vikings clearly thought.
Undrafted rookie or a guy you can get in the third round. Like, I mean, just, we like Boone, but obviously Vikings think Madison can do things that Boone can't.
Yeah, I think they see him as that Murray. Short yardage. More of a, like, a power type compared to Cooks.
Who's that? TMB Scouting on Twitter compared him to Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I always, when we were watching the highlights the draft day, I was like, you know, it just reminds me of a less explosive Dalvin.
It might be
the dreads that, you know, give me that thing.
It'll trick your eyes. I feel like it's like he's got slightly more power and a little less elusiveness, but he's still got a little both, which was basically Murray. Only Murray kind of had lost, I think, a lot of his explosion, where he was kind of just a chain mover. Yep. Maybe this guy's got a little more of that. So, but like, he's going to play.
And he looks like a guy, lot. He may not get you that 60-yard run, but he looks like a guy who'll get you 20 to 30 if he gets the chance.
Yeah.
So and, I'm not mad about it. And, you know, Montgomery had already gone.
And I had done mock drafts where I was totally happy, like Dave Montgomery in the third. cool. That's awesome. So, like, I had no problem with a running back in the third. I just didn't really know who Alexander Mattison was.
Yeah. And I think that's hyped. I think that's the thing. People aren't mad at the position. They're mad at the name.
And the fact that Hakeem Butler is still on the board. Yeah. But, and it's, so it's just, I don't know. I think, like, the one guy that was bitching and saying, you know, taking a backup running back. First off, he's not really a backup. That's like saying Mike Hughes is a backup.
Yeah.
That's like saying, had you taken Hakeem Butler, he's a backup. It's like, is your third receiver a backup? Sure. But is your second running back a backup? Yeah, like technically he's a backup. But he's going to play a ton. It's not like your backup left tackle that plays zero snaps.
Seems like your backup running back plays probably 30% of snaps.
And that's if Cook doesn't get hurt. And guess what? He's been hurt both seasons. And he only has 2 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
After the season, he's in his last year. So it's like...
And if he gets hurt again this year...
Are you going to re-sign him? I love Cook, but like if he can't stay healthy, he can't stay healthy. I don't know, you know. So I don't hate the pick. Let's go to the fourth round. And we've traded down like multiple times here.
Four times.
Adding picks all over the place.
I think from 81 to 102, we traded down three or four times.
Yeah.
Maybe it might have been four.
From 81 to... Our name just kept disappearing from that little freaking ticker. It was like, what? And then the last one, I thought for sure we traded all the way out of third. And I was like, Rick, you fucking asshole. You made us wait.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, 102. Ryan, what pick is 102? Found it. Last pick in the third.
That's awesome. I'm cool with that. I wanted to watch the whole thing, you know?
Yep. Same here. I wanted to, because I know as soon as the Vikings pick, we all were going to be like, all right, let's get
with the rest of the group that doesn't know any of these players and stuff, they're all ready to head out. You know, me, you, and Reddy were kind of like, oh, we know this guy. We know this guy.
Which was a lot of fun this year, because only like seven or eight guys in the second, third round went. That I really had no clue of.
Yeah, I was.
I knew a lot of guys. It was
pretty fun to be like midway through the third and be like, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I know
that guy. Or even like fourth and fifth round, even into the sixth, it's like, oh, hey, look at that guy.
That guy's still there. Yeah. Well, even like, you know, a guy like Emmanuel Hall, who I like, didn't get drafted, just completely fell all the way through the draft.
Which is very strange for me. I know.
It's gotta be.
I dogged him because I didn't think he could catch, and maybe that's.
I think that's it. Well, you know what Hakeem Butler's biggest red flag is? He can't catch well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think maybe teams in the NFL are like, you guys can be all excited over these highlights and all these measurables, but we look at every play and the guy drops the ball a quarter of the time. I can't have that, you know.
No, he's got a 10.5% drop rate. Like
even DK Metcalf, like it's production. Like everyone was like, we did our mock thing and we got him in the second. We're like, there's no way he would ever fall. It's like, this is stupid. And then it was like after the combine, it's like he's gonna go top 10.
Yeah.
I don't know if he gets past the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Dude fell at the end of the second. Like.
Yeah, and the Seahawks traded up to get him.
Which, like, actually kind of makes more sense because he wasn't that good in college.
No, he was just, he's big and he's fast.
Big and fast. A ton of big and fast guys are bad at football.
Yep.
So, but we'll see. Maybe he'll be good. Who knows? So, on to the fourth.
On to the fourth. We started out at 123.
Yeah, because we trade up, right?
Yep. And then we ended up packaging two or three picks.
Really? Yeah, I think I was sleeping when this happened.
Two or three picks, and we traded up to get Samia. At like the 12th pick in the fourth round.
Which, let's just say you flipped those picks, you get Samia, and then you took Madison. Every Viking fan is like,
yep,
Rick killed it. Beautiful job.
We got to change a pace back in the fourth.
Yeah, fourth round running back, that's totally fine. Third, they're like pissed. And then not taking that lineman in the third, you know, trading out of work, we could have took Connor McGovern or the Hakeem Butler thing. So.
And I like Samia over McGovern.
I think it's a scheme thing.
And he's big and nasty.
Yeah, like it's just. I think they're going for specific guys, I like that. Like, I think they have a very specific player in mind.
They have a type.
I think he could win a job.
I do, too. See, I'm hoping that he doesn't take Klein's job just because we gave him, what, 5.5 guaranteed?
Yeah, it would be a bit of
money reason why. Yeah. I don't want him to beat out Klein. But I would actually be ecstatic if Elflein wins the left guard job and Samia beat out Klein fair and square. And all of a sudden, you've got Reef, Elflein, Bradbury, Samia, O'Neal, at least for this year, possibly the next two.
Yeah. I'm more of a thing that he's going to beat out Elflein if he beats anyone out.
Yeah.
I think Klein's probably locked in.
Can Klein play left guard? Because I know Samia's kind of like played all of his career in Oklahoma on the
right
side.
Figure it out. You know, I don't want to hear this nonsense. Didn't Brian O'Neal play left tackle in Pittsburgh?
I thought he played both. He might have played left. You might be right. I don't know.
I mean, how many rookie left tackles go right to right tackle or go to guard?
A lot. Like Lane Johnson, drafted as a left tackle.
Because college, they're their best lineman on their team. Well, come to the NFL, it's like, well, sorry, like Riley Reiff exists. You need to go to right tackle.
Yeah.
So.
Or Jason Peters in Philly. Jason Peters exists. Sorry, Lane Johnson. You may have been fourth overall.
Yeah, you're going to play right tackle. So, I don't know. I think moving around, I mean, we're not moving Reiff. which I think is, well, who knows? Maybe O'Neal beats Reef and takes that job. Yeah. I would say, though, like, going into this year, our offensive line, depth-wise, like, our backups are
Dakota Dozier.
Dakota Dozier, which, whatever he is, who knows if that's a thing. But Rashad Hill, he's not solid, a good starter.
Solid swing tackle.
But a solid swing tackle. You got Brett Jones, who performed fine. Like, they're just like, it's, you're not starting guys like Compton and Remmers, and the backups are fucking, who the hell were they last year? Isadora,
yeah.
And then, like,
what? And Jones.
Rashad Hill was a starter going into last season.
Yeah.
Tom Compton was a starter going into last season. Elflin was a starter. He might be a starter this year, but at least he's got to compete.
You know what I really like about Tate? I really like the Bradbury-Elflin combo is you don't have to keep Jones if you don't want to anymore.
Right.
Just based on the center,
for the center
value.
Because
you've got Elflin to back up center. Like, you don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if we see a lot of that maybe right away in the preseason. Maybe Elflin playing first team center, Bradbury second team center.
I can see that.
Week three, then you go your full starting O line, Bradbury, just to kind of get them both reps. But then at the same time, you probably don't want to do that because you want to get Elflin in the field playing guard strictly.
Yeah.
So
I think they should just pull the trigger. Bradbury, you're the center. Elflin, you're competing with Klein and Samia and Dozier, I guess. I don't think he's got really much of a shot to make a starting job. Klein's probably got one locked up just based on what he was paid.
Yeah.
Elflin, like, he's a third-round pick that didn't play well last year. That's been banged up. That might not fit our scheme as much as he used to.
Yeah.
Because, like, looking at some of his athletic testing, it's like Bradbury is, like, crazy athletic. Sammy is crazy athletic. Elflin, not as athletic.
No, but he's just a smaller body,
yeah,
which makes you think that he's his own.
And he does have some highlights, like the one Packer where we threw the little flare pass to Cook, and all of a sudden there's Elflin out in front. Like, he does have some movement, so it's just, but, I mean,
who knows? Maybe he's a better pulling guard than he is true center.
Right.
I mean, that could be, that could just be it. And we're just, you know, we saw the tape of him playing center his last year in college. It's like, all right, you know, center in the third round makes sense. But, yeah, maybe he's just a guard.
He was good as a rookie. I mean, he was pretty solid as a rookie. But we've since adjusted our scheme. He broke his leg. He fucked up his shoulder. Like, he's been banged up. I would say we did completely check off the grab two O-line, maybe even a third. Like, Klein, Bradbury, that immediately checks the get two new interior starters.
Yep.
And then the Samia was like your little, you want a little extra.
Yep.
Plus, we ended up taking another guy later. Plus, we brought back Brett Jones. Plus, we got Dakota Dozier. So, I think
we nailed the, great. Like, we saw a huge hole on offensive line. We're like, all right, we're going to take it. We're going to, you know, we're going to fill that.
And it wasn't like we went and signed Roger Saffold, but we still put a lot of assets towards that. Whereas last year, we signed Tom Compton.
If you would have told me you could have Saffold and Bradbury in the draft, or Saffold and Dillard in the draft, I would almost rather take Klein, Dozier, Samia, Brad. Just
the group.
Yeah,
well, and the big
group.
Part of that too is it's like you either get Barr or you get Saffold.
That's the thing. So now you get,
looking at the draft again, how it fell, you weren't getting Barr's replacement because those two linebackers went super early.
Yeah,
like we had done some early mocks where it was like, oh, like, wouldn't it be sick if Devin White was there and like that's who replaced Barr?
Yeah.
Well, that was never happening.
Top five. And then it's like, oh, you know, maybe Devin Bush will fall. You know, after 14, it's kind of looks like, oh, you know, might have somebody there. But the Steelers traded up to 10 to take Devin Bush. And I feel like if the Steelers don't take Devin Bush there, the Broncos take Devin Bush there.
100%. He is, or the Bengals, or the Devin Bush is not making it to our pick.
The Packers could have. I would have been very, I mean, the Packers.
That would have been a better pick than Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think with Rick Spielman and those guys did a very good job of knowing, and maybe they got lucky, but like, linebacker is not something in the draft we're ever going to find to replace Barr.
Yeah.
Lineman is not going to last till the second round. These type of things, I think they did a good job of figuring out. So it's like, yeah, would you rather have Roger Saffold and I don't even know who you take in the first round then, or Barr and Bradbury. You know, like, it just works out really well with how we ended up doing it. And plus,
he's 31.
Yeah, like
maybe you take Saffold and Dillard at that point, or you get,
well, then you're doubling up on linemen. You got a giant hole linebacker.
Oh yeah, that's,
which I mean, whatever you got to do. But I think the way they did it really felt good for us. So you check that box. Second round, you check the tight end. I mean, that was completely checked. I mean, that's you got your new, like, this Irv Smith should be here for the next 10 years as our starting tight end.
Yeah, he, like he as will of replace now, Rudolph. I guarantee it, like, going into the year, I'm guaranteeing him a second contract. I mean, that's just obviously from pick standpoint.
Yeah.
But, like, he looks like the guy who's going to be here for a while.
Absolutely. And it works out really well. Rudolph's got one more year, $7 million. You let him walk away, and now you've got your replacement. You don't need to worry about him in the draft next year because David Morgan can be your second. Or Conklin, if he's still around, could be. Like, you're still good at tight end.
And your tight ends usually don't make a big impact their rookie year anyway. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you know, you got Rudolph still producing. And then next year, Irv Smith's got a year under his belt in the NFL with the offense and everything.
And I like how we're not, like, if you, again, that's just kind of why I want to keep Rudolph. You're not, like, being like, hey, you're the starter. You need to, like, you need to have a big role. Because, like you said, tight ends, man, in the first year, it's really like Evan Engram had a good rookie season and, like, I don't know, one other guy.
Gronk, didn't he have a bunch of touchdowns?
I think he might have, when you're, just using his size and whatnot. But even guys like George Kittle did very little, you know, Kelsey took a couple years to become who he is. But if your role is more of a H-back,
Zach Ertz second, took like 4 years.
Yeah, like, it takes a while. So I like that it'll be a little more of a transition. I mean, Rudolph, was the Ponder draft, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time that we have not.
And Rudolph, that was his new toy.
Yeah, we've been taking just random loser tight ends in, like, the sixth round for years. Finally, now we got a good one.
Yeah, we had, what, Mycole Pruitt, Bucky Hodges.
There's one other one that we always forget.
Yeah. Can't remember, though.
I don't know.
Must not have been that good.
Yeah, none of them were good, which is why Rudolph always talks shit about them. But
Rudolph, it is funny. Because
this is a second round pick now.
Didn't Rudolph's agent go on Twitter and say something about all the tight ends?
Yeah, he did. They always talk about it. But it's like, come on, you got to admit, you're like, at this point in your career, even, like, he never was super athletic. I mean, like, he's athletic for his size.
Yeah.
But, like, he's not, like, breaking a tackle.
He doesn't run four. He never ran a 4.5 40. He's slower than he used to be, but he is who he always has been. Reliable, big, chain mover.
Yeah, and I certainly think he can help on offense.
Oh.
So I like to keep him. So you check that box. We obviously the Samia pick in the fourth was that?
Yeah, that was the.
That's like the third edition. That's like a serious edition because, like,
that was your cherry on top.
Yeah, because, like, the Dakota Dozers, they just remind me of, like, a Tom Compton signing, which is fine. Like, go ahead, like, maybe you hit on him, but this dude sucks.
Yeah, let's not pencil him in.
Yeah, let's not hope that he's gonna be the savior that, like, some random bum you signed. You know.
Just because who's our offensive
Dennison,
line?
Yeah,
just because Dennison coached him doesn't mean he's gonna be a starter.
Yeah. So I mean, if I had to make a 53-man roster right now, I don't even think I'd include him. Like, I think I'd have Brett Jones ahead of him.
I think because I haven't seen any of Dozier, I'd probably put him ahead.
You know, like, I got him.
Yeah, but
I do like how our line just has so much flexibility now. Like, if Reef got hurt, you could either put Rashad Hill there or Brian O'Neill could flop, and then Hill could plug in on the right side. Yeah. We signed. Well, who's our next pick? It's not the lineman, is it?
No, because we didn't go back to back lineman. We went with.
I think I have it right here. All our picks. We went with Cameron Smith. So this one.
Linebacker.
Yeah, linebacker USC. A little bums me out because Blake Cashman got scooped right before us. Yep. I think it's like three picks ahead of us. The Jets took him.
Yep.
I don't know which player they had higher. Again, that's another thing where it's like, we liked Cashman more.
Yeah. And for the most part, it was like, because he's a gopher.
Gopher, and then had that super good combine, you know, where it's like, let's take this gopher. You know, let's do it. Cameron Smith seems like a Ben Gideon.
Draft expert Rennie laughed at me when I said he'd be a second or third round pick. I would take him till the fourth or fifth, he said.
Cashman?
I called him dumb. Well, there he is, fifth round pick.
To be fair, Rennie seemed to know where people would go a lot better than us. He didn't know all the players more than us, but he had a better,
because Rennie,
a better feel for the draft.
It's because he listens to the experts, and you and I, we created our own opinion because we don't want to just regurgitate information.
He's a very good information gatherer.
Yes.
And he was had a better first round mock, guessed more players in the first round than us. And then he called like a Blake Cashman one. He was
good for him. Good for him.
Proud of him. Proud. Well, you know, you call him an expert and he shows up and he is an expert. So. But Cameron Smith, I feel like he's literally just hopefully a better Ben Gideon.
Yeah.
Like a special teamer.
I hope he makes an impact on special teams right away.
Yeah.
And maybe next year carves out a role as Ben Gideon.
Yeah, or takes Ben Gideon's job by like the highest this year. Like, that would be, like, the peak of his impact. It seems like every year Spielman takes a random white linebacker.
Good.
That does nothing.
Well, yeah, you know, because if you take a white linebacker, the quarterback's eyes focuses on him. Because he's the only guy with white skin out there. It's like, okay, look out for the white guy.
It's just like, it's like one of those lunch pail, blue collar, you know, just like...
Grinder.
Yeah, like just such a typical linebacker pick. And like, so Cameron Smith. But USC and
Cameron
big school.
Smith, and Cameron Smith, like, that. You know, he sounds like a grinder. Sounds like a lunch pail guy.
It sounds like someone that probably was like a beast in his high school. Oh, Cameron Smith, you know, went to USC. He just wasn't that good. Yeah. He's just like some like random linebacker. But I don't know, maybe one year, like, one of these random linebackers will, like...
Maybe it's Cameron Smith.
Yeah, maybe it's Cameron. Like, Ben Gideon was better than I thought he would be.
At first. I mean, now he pisses me off.
Yeah, because he's like...
But he does have a nose for the ball. Like, on run plays, he does have a nose for the ball.
And he's certainly not bad.
No, he just gets lost in space is his thing. That's the thing that pisses me off most about Gideon, is he gets lost in space.
Well, he's a two-down thumper, that special team guy. So hopefully this guy can be slightly better than that, because Ben Gideon is, when we're in our 4-3, definitely the
He's the liability. Yeah, like, he's the liability. He's the problem.
And, you know, hey, J-Ron Curse is going to play linebacker now. We haven't talked about that, but they're talking about J-Ron.
Yeah, who was it? Did you see J-Ron Curse was on Twitter when that happened?
No.
Oh, well, J-Ron Curse quote tweeted that and said, says who?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's like, I've never heard of this. So I don't think that's actually a thing, but like...
I would love it.
I would absolutely love it. Like, J-Ron Curse being our weak, strong side linebacker in a 4-3.
Strong side, I think. Yeah. Well, and it's like... Why not? Like, that way if they pass the ball, he's way better at coverage than Gideon.
Yep.
And come on, he can play the run just as good as Gideon.
Oh, yeah. He's 6'4", 225. He can knock a tight end off his ass.
You just have to make sure that he's willing to take on a blocker and not go around him. Yeah. As, like, most DBs are kind of, like, not wanting to do that. Unless your name's, like, Antoine Winfield.
Exactly. We're like, Gideon is pretty good at setting the edge and letting Barr or Kendricks clean up behind him.
You need, like, that physical player that's willing to go, my job is to smash into this line.
See, and that's the thing. I think in 4-3, you'd have to put Barr as your strong side backer.
You might have
Curse as weak side.
And just have him chase off the edge.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'd rather have Barr kind of in there with his instincts over J-Ron Curse.
Yeah.
So,
but Zimmer said, like, he wants to do...
Different
stuff. Like, he's like, you know, we're really good, and people kind of know what we're going to do. He's like, you know, yeah, we mix it up, but, like, our defense is what our defense has been. He's like, I want to try to be really good, and now they don't know what we're going to do. Like, be, like, more unpredictable. So.
Yeah, because people are starting to steal Zimmer's stuff.
Yeah, and if I think it's gone around a little. Like,
yeah, if you play 4-3, you've definitely got a lot of Zimmer in your defense. Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, there's some differences with the way, like, he coaches DBs and stuff like that, but it's like, again, you know when you're playing that Zimmer D, what the kind of expect.
The Rams, I think that's probably, the Rams game is probably a key of why Zimmer kind of wants to change. He's like, all right, they knew, motion someone out, we're switching.
They found, like, the weaknesses. And obviously he, like, corrected that going forward because our defense is pretty locked down after that. But, like, you can't have that happen again where someone just basically figures something out and exposes it. And, like, and we Zimmer's aren't unpredictable. We don't cause turnovers. Like, we're just really, really fundamentally sound. Yeah, like, so... I'm interested to hear that. Hopefully it doesn't backfire, then we just completely fuck up. But
why don't we take a break real quick before we get into late picks,
We still got more picks coming than have been taken.
Because what we got through five picks?
Five picks.
And we got seven?
Seven more to go, yeah. Four, seven, 3, 6. So we'll take a break here, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back. That break was brought to you by Weedman Lawn Care. For all your weed man lawn killing needs, they do not mow lawns or do any landscaping. But, you know, if you got that little crabgrass infestation or those pesky little dandelions, give them a call. 651-796-2346 and tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you. So we went through the first four rounds.
Five rounds. Yep. Garrett Bradbury in the first, Irv Smith in the second, Alexander Mattison. Mad Dog or Matt Dog?
You know, I've been thinking about that. For now, it's Mad Dog, but I'm really liking this Matt Dog thing.
Mad Dog Mattison in the third. Samia?
I think it's Samia.
Regardless, fourth round pick. And then Cameron Smith.
I almost like Samia better, though.
The fifth. Well, Samia seems more like he's like maybe like a Hawaiian or yeah. something like that. Like
and they
like
spell Drew D-R-U. Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think that maybe there's some...
We're going Samia. Drew Samia. Yeah. Until we hear otherwise.
Yeah. And then, so we're done with the fifth, into the sixth. This is where, you know...
I'm going to tweet at him and ask him how ask him for pronunciation.
It's by Wikipedia. So yeah, after the fifth, still have seven more picks because Rick...
Slick Rick.
Also sixth and seventh. Seen a lot of people bitching like... Paul Charchian was just like, sixth and seventh are basically worthless. You should trade up in like the second or third and get a better player rather than trade back and acquire all those picks. But it's like,
a lot of those first three round guys aren't very good. Just like your first round guys, your second round guys, you're hit and miss. Your third round guys, hit or miss. Just like the draft is one big lottery.
Exactly.
So, and a lot of people who seem to be smarter than us say, go get lottery tickets.
Get a bunch of them. Yeah, just go get them. One might be Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
One might turn out to be...
Imagine if we traded all of our fifth, sixth, seventh round picks in that draft and didn't get Diggs.
Yeah.
Imagine how far back we're set now. I mean, I like it. The more picks, the better because, like, as of now, I think our first four picks are going to be really good.
And I think they're going to... Now, it depends if Simeon wins a job or not, but...
Could make an
the
impact.
The first three, well, first off, you got a starting center. You got a tight end who's basically a starter because he's your second tight end and your pass catching tight end. The running back's going to play a lot. And if Samia wins a job,
there's like four impact that's four players.
Impact guys. So why not start taking, like, just pulling lottery tickets in the fifth, sixth, seventh?
Well, let's go the other way. What if Bradbury's the only good guy in the first four rounds and then three of these guys that we don't know anything about turned out to be impact players.
Guys like John Sullivan, you know, he was a sixth round pick.
Yep.
Nick Easton got a new contract. Oh, it was a trade, but he was also a late round guy.
He was a sixth, seventh round guy.
So I mean,
you got Diggs.
And we also all know that Kubiak built his lines through the later rounds. Yep. So even the fact that he's Bradbury is something. So, like,
that I think that says a lot. About Bradbury, because if I remember correctly, Kubiak has only taken three offensive linemen in the first round in 28 years.
Yeah, so not that he's the decision maker most of the time, but like it's clearly a scheme thing. Like, hey, I can find guys that fit the zone scheme later.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, let's go to the sixth with our, you know, first lottery ticket type. Armin Watts, DT. That's the three tech. Now, I would not say this checks the three tech box.
No, Armin Watts is from Arkansas, correct?
Yep.
I liked Armin Watts kind of pre-draft. He kind of seemed like one of those guys who's going to be the third or fourth round.
For sure.
Yep. Yeah. So I think we got a really good pick here in the six. I like it. I don't think right away he pushes for that three tech spot, but he's one of those kind of athletic guys that Zim likes to mold.
For sure. Like, that's what I think is, like, again, like, I wouldn't check him in there. He's not checking a box. Three tech was not checked this offseason. Nope. It was left. But what's left is Jahlil Johnson, Jalen Holmes, Shamar Stephen, Armin Watts.
Sure.
Let them all compete. Zimmer has a project now in this Armin Watts. Because he was a one-year wonder, from what I read. His first two seasons didn't do much. Last season was productive.
8.5 sacks or something like that.
Yeah, which is very good for an interior defensive lineman. So, maybe he's nothing, but maybe he's something that, what's the coach's name, Patterson?
Yep, Andre Patterson.
Andre Patterson, Zimmer can work with and, like, make him into something.
And if he's getting 8.5 sacks, maybe he's just a pure passer. Maybe he's not very good against the run. But, you know, that's when you have Jahlil Johnson or Stephen playing the first two downs. Mm-hmm. And then he's
and those two are, like, very much, I think, more of run stoppers. Yep. And then you've got Jahlil Holmes and Armin Watts, who maybe could be they come in and rush. Plus, Tom Johnson ain't signed yet by nobody. He might come back for minimum.
And you know, maybe this is the year that we finally see Griffin play some three tech.
Yeah, slide some of these guys underneath.
Because he's not as fast as he used to, but he's still super strong, mm-hmm. can push guards around.
And if they're all healthy, Weatherly's a good player. He, you know, he needs some snaps, so maybe you'd see more of a rotation. You see someone do that Robeson role where he was standing up.
Yep. And you know, I think that'd be really cool to see Dino Hunter standing up inside.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. Like that wingspan and strength.
And maybe that, you know, stunt Weatherly down and Hunter
wrap him around.
Yeah, you know, with the guys we have on that defensive line, like you can do so much with it.
And you have Griffin, you have Linval, and you have Dino Hunter. It's okay to have one spot that isn't
a superstar.
Sheldon Richardson. And also, like, Sheldon Richardson, that first game against the 49ers, if he had played like that every single game, it would have been like, okay, this is huge. You can't lose that. Yeah. But he didn't.
Yeah, it was and once it was, made. And then it was once consistently the first week, and then spotty. You'd see
a few plays here and there.
And you know, that's probably why Sheldon Richardson took a $7 million deal last year, because everyone else saw, like, all right, the dude's inconsistent. He's, you know, he's not a splash.
He just flashes that top 10 talent, because he was taken top 10, I believe.
Yeah.
Or at least top 20.
Top 20 for sure.
Yeah. And he just never has been able to consistently do that. And so you still got really good players all around it. The three tech spot's just going to be a camp battle. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe Jalen Holmes steps up and is really good.
Well, you know, I was looking at Jalen Holmes, and I don't know if it's coincidence or not. I don't believe in coincidences. But the Vikings were 5-0 last year when Jalen Holmes played. Granted,
that sounds like a very good example of a coincidence.
Sure, it was both Lions games, the Cardinals game, the Eagles game, and the Bills game, but...
Well, you can't have stars everywhere.
No, it wouldn't have been the Bills game because we lost it. I don't know. It was 5-0.
Holmes didn't play that game. He would never have let that happen. That is all on Sheldon Richardson. But Armin Watts, I think it's a very good project pick. It's an athletic upside. It's,
Throw him on the practice squad, give him a year to develop, and who knows, maybe he gets a small injury and you throw him on IR and all of a sudden he doesn't take a roster spot at all.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. I think he'll probably make the team. How many linemen do we usually keep? 9?
I think it's 9. I think it's usually 4 ends, four or five ends, and 4 or 5 interior guys.
I mean, you're keeping Hunter, Griffin, Weatherly, Linval, Shamar, Jaleel, Jalen. I would say you're keeping all of them.
And last year we had Bauer. Bauer and Tayshaun Johnson.
Bauer and Tom Johnson later on. And then there was even... I only counted 7 right there, so you could easily... I think Armin Watts makes the team.
Yep.
I don't know if you could slip him through to practice squad. So I was just looking at Pro Football Focus's grades last year for pass rush. He had an 86 rush grade, which...
Wasn't that top 7?
Yep, because Quinnen Williams had better, Christian Wilkins, Ed Oliver, Jerry Tillery, Jeffrey Simmons, and Draymond Jones. He's the next one.
7, number 7.
And there's... they're all around 90, those guys. He's 86, and then it's like a big drop-off down to, like, Dexter Lawrence, 81. So there's definitely some talent there.
Yep. Like a raw Patterson, Zimmer guy.
I certainly wouldn't be shocked if he was the kind of guy that came from this draft. It was like the Stephon Diggs of this draft. Maybe not to that level, but that type
the guy
we find.
Yeah, it kind of sticks out going, we got Armin Watts in the 6th round.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, he's only a rotational guy, but he sticks.
Yeah, looking at it, I think he's the one that I think is the biggest chance of the later guys. We'll get to whoever you think, but I think he's the one.
You know who I think.
Oh, forgot about that pick. All right, next pick was the 6th round, Marcus Epps, safety.
Out of Wyoming?
I believe it, Wyoming, yeah. I don't know a ton about him. I do think we needed another safety since Sendejo left. So
yeah, that'll give us 4.
Yep. Hey, what do you got? Curse. Well, unless he's a linebacker.
Yep.
But Curse, Harry and Harris. Anthony Harris.
Yeah, and Epps.
Epps, so.
And, do you really need 4 safeties?
I mean, I think you do just, special teams wise and stuff like that, but
I was thinking I'm just wondering if just spitballing, Hughes or another cornerback can just kind of slide out there if needed.
You probably could. I mean, I don't think it'd be that difficult if you had to in like a pinch.
I mean, center field role. I mean,
they could probably do it. Epps had an 81 grade for Pro Football Focus. Solid.
Okay. See, I still have a problem with Pro Football Focus doing college because these aren't professional athletes. They're not getting paid.
They need to change the name, College Football Focus.
Exactly.
It's not okay. It's not okay.
Do not call them professionals.
I kind of feel like he'll end up being nothing. Just guess. This is just guessing. Marcus Epps, not a great name.
No.
That's really what matters. Armin Watts.
Sounds like
a star. Sounds like he's going to be good.
Alexander Madison. They call him Matt Dog.
Yeah.
We're going with Matt. We're going with Matt. One T, though. Matt Dog.
Our first three picks, Bradbury as a center. That is a classic center name, Bradbury. Yeah,
Bradbury.
Irv Smith Jr. I mean, that's a tight end name all the way.
Of course it is. His dad played tight end.
So there you go, you know. Cameron Smith, typical white linebacker. Yeah. I mean, that's just a blatant, generic nobody name. You will be Cameron Smith. It's like your boy last year. Who was that linebacker you liked?
Brett Jones?
No, Brett Jones. Was that his name? Brett.
I think it was Brett Jones.
Oh, well, so generic, I forgot it already. So
Brett Taylor.
There. Brett Jones is the lineman. Brett Taylor. So Marcus Epps. Nah, you know, we'll see. Next pick, this is 6th round 2. Ali Udo,
the tackle from Elon.
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, big guy. Big guy, which would fit the right tackle Mahler kind of.
Which you don't want to think like, well, this guy will be a future starter, blah, blah, blah. But like, if he developed into it, that's where you kick O'Neal to the left.
Yep. Put him at right. And Kubiak and Dennison find guys 5th, 2nd.
That's true.
Like Ben Hamilton, I think they took from the Gophers in the 5th round as a guard. And all of a sudden he starts like 4 or 5 years for him before he gets injury issues.
And this dude's actually pretty athletic. Among tackles, he had the 2nd fastest 40 time.
Which is weird because isn't he like 320?
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah, so like
6'7", right? Isn't he like really big?
Yeah. Yeah, this guy, they had him down as a right tackle, compared him to David Sharp. Don't know who that is, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
I like the upside with the athletic project guys. I like that more than the, like, I don't know, taking Hunter Renfro. You know, like the kind of
you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a 4-6 slot receiver.
Yeah. Like, sure, he's got hands. Even like the Ben Gideons, you know, it's like at his best, he's a situational 2-down thumper.
I'd rather take Udo over Cameron Smith just because
the upside. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't know enough about Cameron Smith. Maybe there's upside there, but he just reminds me of a typical. He'll be a good special teamer for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool. We drafted Keith Farwell.
But no, don't. let's not dog my dude Farwell, because I was just going to bring him up going, you know, I would not be upset if he turns into Keith Farwell.
Well, that's
13-year special team ace.
That's actually kind of true, too, because so many of these guys wash out completely and never make a team that, like, if you draft a guy who is 4 or 5 years in the league as a good special teamer, it's like,
well, isn't Farwell the special teams coordinator for the Seahawks now?
I think he was. Either that or like assistant. I think he is.
So. I thought he got a special teams coordinator job.
Next pick is Chris Boyd, cornerback.
Cornerback.
He's Holton Hill's teammate.
Yeah. Oh, he was undrafted. I thought he was an undrafted rookie.
That's a 7th round.
Oh, no, we did take him in the 7th.
That's our first 7th round pick. There's still 3 more guys to go, right?
Yeah. Chris Boyd, I'm wondering if he didn't kind of get on the radar when we were watching Holton Hill.
I could see that, yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, who's this guy over here? And all of a sudden he falls to the center, and it's like, well, we've seen him play. You know, he played good against next to Holton Hill. Let's bring him aboard, see what we can do. A little developmental guy. I mean, he's tested pretty well, did he not?
Yeah, he had 4.46 40.
And they say the 4.54 is good. Like the slowest you want out of like your top corner. Like once you hit that 4.55, it's like, alrighty.
He had a good 20-yard shuttle, good 3-cone, good broad jump.
Sounds like he's got fluid hips.
his run grade was like the best besides one other guy.
Really?
Yeah. So good run stopper as a corner, which is interesting.
Which is okay. Maybe you know,
physical, like, probably, you know.
And he's 5'10", right?
5'11" ish.
Well. Think. Maybe he's a guy. Pounds, so he's a potential nickelback guy. Could be. With Mack and Waynes on the last year, maybe we with tackling and everything, nickelback. He's played outside at UCF. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I like the pick.
And plus, 7th round pick, you're just taking a guy you think, again, athletic. Hopefully he can become something.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of made more sense where you take a corner, just how the board felt too. Like, you're. There was definitely other bigger needs that were like perfect fits. So you didn't get your corner until the 7th round.
Yep. And I wonder if Greedy Williams, because I think the Browns jumped right ahead of us to get Greedy.
Yeah. I know they took him right ahead of us. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder if we would have had some back and forth on Greedy and Irv Smith. But at this, you can never know. I just wonder if, you know, because a lot of the top cornerbacks fell in the draft.
They did, yeah.
I wonder if we had our eyes set on one. But then when he got took,
I kind of feel like it wouldn't be greedy just because the tackling is so bad with him.
See, but Trey Waynes was such a poor tackler.
Yeah, maybe they saw something in Waynes that they thought he could.
Maybe he was willing to tackle. Maybe
yeah, just needed better technique or something. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe that would be the same with Greedy. But
all I know is I watched a thing on Twitter yesterday. I know it's just rookie minicamp, but they were talking about, you know, Greedy's a strictly man coverage corner. You know, get yeah. your hands, run with them. Well, the Browns, you know, they play a zone heavy scheme, and they showed a video of him playing zone yesterday. He got burned on that deep post. It's like, yeah. Oh boy.
He was doing he was giving cushion, 10 yards of cushion, and the guy just blew right by him.
Yeah, it's like, oh boy. Because you could tell in that video, Greedy's looking at the quarterback and everything. It's like, he's a hands guy.
It's very similar to our corners where, like, they had to kind of learn that because they were very much just want to press and run.
Yeah.
You know, where you got to kind of learn how to.
Well, Zimmer always says he can find a cover two corner at the Lunds and Byerly's in Bloomington or something like that. It's like, all
right. I go there. Yeah. Zimmer's never been around. So Chris Boyd, I maybe they do like the scheme that Texas runs too, like the Holden Hill.
Yeah, maybe it's like similar.
Something that they think that they can transfer.
Yeah, seem to take a lot of, you know, that I think that coach at Texas. Oh, no, that was the old coach. He was Teddy's coach at Louisville, and then he went to Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I think he got fired after a year. Oh, Texas Chuck Strong. Really been... That was his name, Chuck Strong.
Okay. Next two picks are the receivers. Dylan Mitchell, Olabisi Johnson.
I don't know much about Johnson.
I just know they're both very much like route runner types. Like, we were kind of thinking deep threat. 4.3 speed. And they're...
Stretch the field.
Yeah, and where these guys seem more... Like, it's not like they're slow. But they just seem to be more like technicians, route runners, very similar to Diggs and Thielen, not the Treadwell contested catch guy, the big bodied guy, the speedster. Like, it's not none of those. No, it's not a pure slot receiver. Oh. It's sort of just like a good all around receiver, which maybe that's what they want.
Yeah, like, and we were talking about it a little yesterday, and maybe that like does that not make more sense for the West Coast offense to get more of a technician, like create your own separation and make play after the catch rather than just, I know the West Coast is, you know, take a deep shot, stretch the defense mm-hmm. out a little bit, open things up underneath, but they all run 4.4s. They're all fast.
That's the thing. Like, you can send Diggs deep. You can send Thielen deep. They're not slow.
Yeah.
They're just not take the top off a defense 4.3 speed.
They're not Hollywood Brown.
But if you had I think in the seventh, you're kind of just thinking, well, these guys would fit good in our scheme because it is a lot of timing. So you can't have guys that don't, like, I think Treadwell, a lot of his problem is he's not that great of a route runner and it doesn't work out.
Throws timing off.
Yeah. And also, we're just trying to find guys that are going to be good. So, like, trying to pigeonhole a guy in a scheme, or, like, not a scheme, but, like, we need a burner. Well, what if there's, like, seven other receivers that are, like, better, but they're not really that burner type? Let's just take the best receiver.
Yeah, instead of, like, trying to let them carve out their own role rather than, like,
like, these guys are probably not even going to make the team. Who knows? But, like, let's just pick the best chance of him being a good player.
And again, rookie camp, but we saw that one.
Dylan Mitchell one?
Mitchell yesterday.
Yeah.
Looks like he's got great feet.
Mm-hmm. So. Which, again, I don't want to say he's Diggs, but, like, reminds me of Diggs where it was like, wow, this guy knows how to run a route.
Yeah.
And, like, the biggest thing to me is, as a receiver, just get open. Because, like, that's the thing that sucks about Treadwell. He doesn't get open. Like,
and with Mitchell, you know, he's already got great feet. Oh my goodness, that was worse than the Walsh one.
Yeah, we're watching the 2009 Packer-Cardinal playoff game. Up next is the Saints-Vikings. I don't know 45, why they're doing this.
45 all, and Rackers, I did not know he
missed
pulled that.
34-yarder.
Oh my goodness.
Back to our receiver.
Yeah, back to, but like Mitchell, you know, with Diggs and Thielen around being that good of route runners, and how good you saw like Mitchell's feet yesterday, it might be a perfect fit because if the dude likes to work, having Diggs and Thielen, the two of the top five route runners in the league, to kind of, here, take my hand, like, Diggs, and they're both, you know, fifth round and undrafted.
Yeah.
They've been in his shoes. They know nothing's guaranteed. And as long as the dude wants to work, and, I mean.
That's the biggest thing that we don't know is the, how hard do they work? Because it's like,
do you want it or not?
Like that's the thing where, like, you know, we got all the draft analysts and stuff that like are giving grades or thinking about it. It's like, dude, like if Irv Smith Jr. is just some dude that's like, he got paid and now he's just going to kind of relax and go through the motions and treat it like a, like just like a, I punch in and punch out.
Yeah.
He's not going to be good. But, like, you know, a guy, you know, if you got a guy in the seventh that's going to bust his ass and they try to be the best he can, and, like, all of a sudden he's good. Like, you don't know that as just, like, I watched highlights or I watched film.
Like, there's so, like, all the guys in college who, if you're the best in college, you were the best in high school.
Yeah, you didn't need to, like, work your ass off, probably. You know, there's a few that did, but, like, you know, most of them just showed up and they're awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and there's so many guys out there, like Jamarcus Russell, a perfect example. Yeah, that's all a great example. All the talent in the world.
Didn't give a shit, though.
It's like, oh, I got paid. All right, whatever. And, you know, people, I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, people question Rodgers. Does Rodgers play football because he likes it? Or does he play football just because he's good at it?
I feel like Rodgers is a good example of someone who, it's like, I think he loves football. I think he likes to compete and stuff. But he's not on the Brady level of, like, Brady has dedicated his life.
Yeah, he's...
Like, training. Like, Roger seems to actually, like, you know, I mean, I don't know, he's dating the race car girl.
Danica Patrick.
Yeah, and then before that, he was dating Olivia Munn. Like, I just feel like he likes, like, the lifestyle, the stardom. He likes to kind of just, like, you know, enjoy his life even outside of football, where Brady's like, no, this is, like, it seems like everything he does. I know he's also married to some famous girl.
But you see so many videos of Brady, you know, throwing at random high schools and colleges during the offseason, and then, you know, Rodgers is out on a date with Danica Patrick. You know, I'm not saying Rodgers doesn't work, because, you know, Brady's just so much more high profile. That's
the thing. Brady's like, I might be the ultimate, like, working his ass off. It's similar to, like, Jerry Rice and stuff. It's like, if Randy Moss worked as hard as Jerry Rice, Randy Moss would have murdered him. Like, he would have been, like, he already kind of, like, was, like, athletically better and everything. But, like, I don't think he was out there, you know, running up hills and shit every day like Jerry Rice was doing. So, but, yeah, you don't know the work ethic of these guys, which is what the teams kind of try to figure out.
Yeah. And, like, you know, DK Metcalf, you know, he may be a workout beast, but maybe he's just a gym rat.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't work on his, you know, his curls, his moving left.
Yeah.
You know?
His lateral agility. Or maybe he just doesn't have that in him, you know, like, you can't, or you have bad hands. Like, well, it's kind of like, because they talk about Treadwell, Zimmer says, you know, he's running upstairs all day, you know, trying to, like, get better and get in, but, like, he's like, he's just working out stupid. Like, he's not doing the things he should be. Like, work on the jugs machine, go run routes and stuff. And it's like,
stay on the field. Don't go run in the sand. Stay on the field. Do stuff that'll make you better. Mm-hmm. You know, work on the stuff that you can bring to the game. You're not running upstairs in the middle of a football game.
It's like, yeah, you're probably in better, like, shape. But does that make you a better route runner? Does that make you a better, you know, those kind of things? So,
like, Hunter Renfrow is probably a better receiver than Treadwell, even though he's not a workout freak. Just because Renfrow he's got sure hands and he can run routes. Mm-hmm. Renfrow probably could run a bunch of stairs, like, probably not as much as Treadwell, but he could probably do that.
Man, but he'd probably be halfway going, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like, I know how to get open.
Yeah.
And it ain't this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it'd be different if Treadwell wasn't running steps his first 2 years, then last 2 years he was, and he became explosive.
Yeah,
but it's not making him explosive. Yeah,
he just, you know, the thing with Treadwell, I think, is, like, when he broke his leg or whatever it was in college, it just, I think what we thought was, like, he's still 20, he's going to get that explosion back, and it just really hasn't came.
And it's a shame.
Yeah. So, but we took Mitchell, Olabisi Johnson. Oh. Both look they look similar to me as just sort of, like, they're not tall, they're not short, they're not slot receivers, they're not outside receivers, they're not super fast, they're not super slow. They just seem like a very Thielen Diggs-esque. Like, they're both 6 foot whatever, run routes good, decent hands.
And I wonder if that's something that we saw in Diggs and Thielen, where it's like, all right, late round guys, let's look for the guys that can create separation.
Yeah, create separation and
decent hands.
And maybe work hard. Like, maybe they found, like, that kind of thing. And instead of taking a guy who's, you know, big and fast, but
Hakeem Butler or DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Like,
it makes,
or taking the, you know, the typical Chad Beebe type in the seventh, you know, it's like, you get him undrafted. Like,
I think we came into this draft probably with the best plan that we had in a long time.
Yeah. I think we did. I really like the trading down and getting a ton of picks. Why not?
I love
especially it. With a team that we're so top heavy on, like, money, like, all of our money is spent on our, like, star players.
Yeah, so you need these to, guys, like, don't
find a couple gems that'll get paid nothing. It's why we're picking up all those AAF guys too. Like,
you
got to find something, because you can't go sign a guy for $3-4 million to fill a backup role. Or, we need to find cheap randoms.
Yeah, you know? We can go and give $3-4 million to Zach Brown, who just went to the Eagles to play the linebacker.
That's not an option for us. We don't have money to sign Bradbury yet.
It's like, oh, $3 or $4 million. Yeah, that's super cheap. It's like, yeah, it's cheap, but that we can't do that.
Yeah, we literally can't do that.
Yeah, so
we're just gonna basically get under the cap unless we just straight up like cut Rudolph, and then we maybe have like $3-4 million to spend. Yeah. So our last pick.
My guy.
Austin Cutting, long snapper.
Love it.
Okay. I can't argue why you would ever take a long snapper. I don't know how to do it. I don't think you should ever take a punter. But then, you know, that one guy from the Seahawks.
Dixon. Big Dick Dixon.
And some people say no specialists ever.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine taking a kicker if you think he's a really good kicker. He could be a good kicker for the next 15 years. I kind of think Dan Carlson is going to end up being a good kicker for the next 15
years.
Probably will be. If you get a punter, it's as good as Michael Dixon in like the seventh. That's fine.
If you can get a guy who changes field position the way Dixon does, yes.
Yeah, but a long snapper? A long snapper?
You know, my only argument is that we got a new special teams coach.
Okay.
And maybe who's McDermott?
McDermott, yep.
Maybe he sees something with McDermott as the reason why we don't kick very well.
That is the only argument I can see, is that like there's something with our long snapping that is why every kicker that we get seems to do worse with us than it's only that makes sense.
And plus, I talked myself into it.
He did lose a part of his finger. You know, Kevin McDermott. You know, that's right.
In the helmet title game 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I don't know when it was, but
I think it was the title game. He got wrapped in a helmet.
So, I just like you couldn't have found a long snapper that could do a good decent job, like just like walking around the streets. Has that like do people do that a lot? Draft long snappers. This is something I haven't really thought of.
I don't think they do.
And then there's the other part where like he has to like also be in the Air Force and like we might not be able to play and they got to work all that out.
Like, well, he's only got a year of service, like 2 years of service left. So you know he's developing.
It is super weird. I'd love to like hear the thought process behind that, because then we ended up paying that Jake Browning, the quarterback, an undrafted free agency, like a pretty decent chunk of change to like come to us. Was it that, like, you couldn't draft him and you couldn't just pay this long snapper?
Well, I think you said it. Maybe they were worried that he would have signed with Denver.
Well, there was talks that the long snapper did have other offers in undrafted free agency. But it'd just be interesting to, like, sit there and hear the reasoning of why you felt you needed to draft the long snapper. You had to get him. You had to have him. Like, not try to grab, I don't know.
Like, you felt he was one of the best 256 players in the
yeah,
draft.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. But maybe it's also, like, part of the... all right, we have 12 picks. We do feel like we need a new long snapper. And he's the best one. He will make an impact this year if he's the long snapper. I mean, you won't see it.
Yeah.
But if they think internally, like, yes, some of the long snapping has been a problem, then I guess it's more chance of him being impactful as a long snapper this year than anything else, probably.
You brought up Jake Browning, and I really like that. I liked him, like, in college and everything, you know. He didn't produce very well
in Washington. His first year, he produced, like, ridiculous. Yeah. And then it just dropped completely off a map, which is, like, crazy to me. But, like,
I know he played very well with Dante Pettis 2 years ago.
And he also had John Ross early on.
Yeah.
I think he had John Ross and Dante Pettis and his big year where he had like 40 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then the next two seasons combined, he had like 20.
Yeah, but exactly. But I think I think he's a solid player. I mean, you take him, now you got Browning, Sauter, Mannion.
Oh, Mannion, yes.
Mannion and Cousins. And I don't know, maybe Sauter can take that second quarterback role, and maybe Browning's better than Mannion. So now you got three. Or maybe we don't like Sauter. Maybe Browning is better than Sauter.
I think my guess is going to be it's going to be Cousins. Backup's going to be Mannion. Slaughter be the third still. And Browning ends up on practice.
Yep.
I
think that's the recipe.
That's like the obvious one. But like, I wouldn't, you know, who knows? Maybe Browning does good and beats out Sauter for a job. Or maybe we just cut Mannion. That was the thing when we signed Mannion. Everyone's like, this is who we're picking. Is our blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude could be cut tomorrow. He didn't get any guaranteed money.
And everyone's like, what does that tell Sauter that you don't trust him? It's like, dude, he's a third string quarterback. You don't just hand him a second string job. You, like, everyone on an NFL roster competes for their job. Mm-hmm. If you just hand somebody their job, do you really think that it incentivizes them to work?
Well, and it's like, It was Mannion. We didn't sign a guy who immediately, like, it wasn't like you went and signed Teddy Bridgewater to be your backup. Yeah. It's like, you signed, you wouldn't have the money to do any of that. Like,
Sean Mannion was a fourth string, or fourth round quarterback, yeah, who hardly ever developed.
Well, you don't even know. Maybe he's fine. I don't know. No one's ever seen him. He's never got a chance to do anything. I don't know. Could he be Case Keenum? Yeah, so Vikings-Saints 2009 has just popped up on the TV. This is...
I turned away.
Brett Favre looks pretty sharp, though.
God, Vasanchenko.
Now, can Irv Smith be Vasanchenko? I think he could.
I think he could. I think he could be a faster Vasan.
Yeah. Vasanchenko, I would say, is better than Kyle Rudolph. Now, I think Shanko's career was only primes, like 2 years.
In their primes, yes. Obviously, longevity. You go Rudolph.
Well, Shanko did nothing for like his first 4 or 5
years. Well, didn't Shanko, wasn't he the second tight end in New York?
Yeah, behind Shockey. And then he came here and he couldn't catch anything. Remember that? Like, he dropped every ball. And then all of a sudden, he just like got hands like he must have worked. Again, dude must work his ass off because he made himself like drastically better.
Yep.
So you just, I don't know. Look at how good this team is. McKinney, Hutchinson, Sullivan, Herrera, Loadhole. Brett Favre, Percy Harvin, Sidney Rice, Bernard Barron. This is Bernard Barron's best game as a Viking.
Yeah.
If you actually go back and watch this game, the dude like came. I think he fumbles the ball once though, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it was driving out. I think he fumbled it inside the 20.
Yeah. But everyone fumbled this game, so you know, what are you gonna do?
God.
Kleinsaucer.
Oh man, in the slot.
Lining up in the slot. The sauce gets the ball.
Oh man,
you know he's getting that first down there.
You know what? We have to rewatch one of these Vikings games and do a play by play.
Just live. Kleinsaucer was awesome. Anyway, so that I think that's my favorite undrafted free agent was Jake Browning.
Yeah.
I do like the D end Andre St. Amour. Just because PFF gave him, like, pretty darn good grades.
Did, do we find out today who made it from the trials?
I don't know if that's today. Probably not till Monday. They don't really announce things on the weekend.
But we brought Diggs' brother in for a trial. Yeah,
I doubt he'll make the team.
Probably
typical,
not.
Typical, we'll bring in your brother. Although, you know, I really thought that Tom Compton signing was just because Cousins liked him, and the dude started for an entire season for us.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe... You know, maybe this Diggs guy, I've never heard of some guy named Diggs. Maybe he just needs a shot.
Just needs a shot. Overall, what do you think of the draft?
I liked it. I mean, the first four picks, I don't think you could have done better.
Yeah, actually was because we had talked about doing like going back and looking at what you would have done. And I don't really see much that I would have changed. Because like Irv Smith, I think, is an obvious choice in the second.
Yep.
If I'm getting Samia in the fourth, I'm totally fine with a running back in the third. Now, yeah. Is there a different running back or something? Because we didn't know much about Madison, but watching the highlights and like
there, there's 70 different running backs
too. Like,
yeah,
he has hands.
All, he's an all around back.
I kind of like that. And then in the first, it really
and he's our type. Delvin dreads. Mike Boone dreads. Amir Abdullah in college dreads. Matt Dog Madison dreads. We have a type at running back, and it's got dreads.
It's got dreads. I don't think Amir Abdullah's making the team now, or Mike Boone's not making the team.
We carried 5 running backs last year for a while.
Yeah, but
why can't you carry 4 if Abdullah's your kick returner?
Yeah, maybe you could do that. I kind of feel like
hopefully, I don't know. I like Dylan Mitchell. Maybe I don't know if he can return or not. That'd be cool.
That's what I'm wondering, if we have some other guys in mind to maybe that could return.
Mike Hughes is back. Hughes is a good return guy, but you know, if he's your starting nickelback, you don't want to put him in that kind of situation.
I kind of like Abdullah as a returner because it's like, dude, who cares if you're back there? Yep. Like, you don't matter.
So. And you get to the 25, mm-hmm. So I'm happy.
I guess you could easily keep 4 running backs. Last year going into it, what did we have? We had Cook, Murray, Boone, and Rock Thomas all on the active roster.
Yeah.
That's what I was going into the season. And obviously we added Abdullah later, but I think by that time Rock Thomas had been moved to practice squad. He's toast. I mean, didn't he get like a drug charge?
Yeah, he had a quarter pound of pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor guy.
Just a little bit, right?
Just a little bit of pot.
I think he only got like, he barely got like a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, and you know, I think he's obviously got to show that he belongs. I don't think we haven't cut him.
No.
So
he'll
he's
be suspended, I'm sure, for 2 games, so we won't even count on the thing, but.
I'm going to freak out if he is suspended longer than Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, I don't know if that dude's going to... You see that? Oh, you saw that text message. It was so fucking fake. I did it all. It was all me.
Yeah. I was just mad at you and blamed it all on you. Yeah. Right. You are just sending that now because you realize you blew the bank. Because he was... So I heard he was in line to get like a 5-year, $90 million extension.
I'd have to imagine he was going to get the biggest contract of any receiver.
Yeah.
Like, I just... I don't know why.
He was going to be in Beckham territory and that broad just blew... I mean... Good. I'm glad you. Yeah, I don't know if she blew it.
It's that kid telling him.
See, that's the thing. I'm glad that she was like smart enough to go, all right, money isn't worth, like, no amount of money is worth like my child's well-being.
Right.
But at the same time, you're backtracking now. It's like,
all right. Well, that's so typical. Like, that's what happened with the whole Ruben Foster thing. Remember, she was like back and forth repeatedly.
Zeke's girl dropped the charges. Apparently, according to Rennie, drop charges are the same as being like exonerate. Like,
what are we, Donald Trump now?
Yeah, I was like, wait a second, no. Drop charges,
total just exoneration.
Means, yeah, drop charges just means that somebody got paid off.
Yeah, that just,
you know. Oh no, innocent, and drop charges are the same.
I mean, technically, like, you now are, if you're gonna go to technicality,
yeah.
But there's a lot of funny business going on there. Yeah. And, the girl completely changes her story.
Yeah, like Zeke thing.
It's also like a settlement. Like when you go, oh, we agreed to settle. It's like, oh, you agreed for a number to just admit that, like,
just stop talking about.
Yeah,
it.
Let's just make this go away.
For the women and kids and men and everyone who are okay with themselves for doing that, good on you. But
I mean,
obviously I have a price though.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you've already, I mean, it's, this one's kind of fucked up because there's like a kid involved, but like, if you're a girl who's been hit, it's like, you know what? I'd kind of rather want to get a bunch of money than nothing.
Yeah.
Than like, yeah, like I,
cause if I get a bunch of money, I can move away from you and never see you
like,
again.
And like, it's like, maybe either way, I'm going to move away and never see you again. Like, is it more worth me like tearing your career down? Which it should be, like, ruined.
Yeah.
But I personally would rather have a bunch of money. Yeah. Because how does me tearing your career down really help me? Except that you should have your career torn down.
I don't know, exactly.
Morally, it's good, but, like...
Yeah, and it's like, all right, okay, I am with an NFL athlete right now. Potential millions on the table.
Yeah.
Next guy up might just make 60 grand a year and can't afford a house.
But you don't want them to stay with the guy. That's the thing. Yeah, no, you don't want to just continue to get...
I want this lady... What this lady should have done is waited till he got his guaranteed money, took half the guarantee, and then threw him under the
bus.
Can
you sue them? Can you just do that instead of settling? Just sue them for money. Just
sue the shit out of them.
Sue them so much. And then they'll settle.
Yeah.
And they'll be innocent.
Yep.
And she'll have a bunch of money.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden, me and you sound like we're terrible people.
You know, I just can see how it can happen so often.
Oh, definitely.
Like, you've already went through the pain of whatever the thing was. Now it's like, I kind of want to get paid.
Exactly. It's like, will tear your career down make me feel better than X amount of money?
Right. Will that help me going forward?
Yeah. And you know, some people, it might. It might be like, you know what? I want to see that asshole in jail, and that's going to make me feel
better. It just
seems
like 9 times out of 10, all of a sudden the story changes and clearly money's been exchanged.
Yeah.
But anyways, enough about, you know, that, you know, domestic, you know, nonsense.
Yeah, enough about that piece of shit.
The draft, yeah, I think overall... I like it. I like 12 picks. I like going on the... If you go to the Wikipedia, the 2019 draft, right there. Most selections, Minnesota Vikings.
Do you have a grade?
I don't know.
I'd go B+ just because I don't know how it's all going to turn out.
Yeah, I think grades is kind of like...
Right off the bat out of the draft, I give us an A+ because I think we nailed it. But, like, you know, going back, B+, I guess, just because...
Yeah, the only thing I don't like is why the hell you drafted a long snapper.
Okay, again, you know, maybe.
I feel like, I'm totally fine with it. Like, the thing we didn't really get was the deep speed receiver, but you got the tight end, so it's kind of like, I don't need both.
Yep.
You didn't get a 3-tech, but that was probably further down my list. If I wasn't getting Christian Wilkins or Ed Oliver or something, I was totally fine waiting on that.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of those second, third, I mean, we took, who's the dude from Oregon State? Creighton.
Scott Creighton?
Yeah, we took Creighton the 1 year, the third round.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
And I just think our offense needs more help than our defense. So it's like, okay, if I'm not getting like a stud, I don't really want to burn. Like, I'd rather get Irv Smith or a lineman or something in the middle rounds than take, I don't even know who there was. I mean, Draymond Jones, but like,
Jones?
Is he even available?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, he went third. The Broncos had a very solid draft.
Yeah, they did.
They got
Font, Risner,
Locke, and then Draymond Jones in the third.
Yeah. Was Jones on the board when we took?
No.
When we traded down?
No, because I think went like 80.
Yeah. I'd much rather have Irv Smith than Draymond Jones. So this is kind of like a give or take. What do you think about our divisional? So, like, Lions, I think, I like Hockenson. Come on. You taking a tight end in the top 10?
Over Ed Oliver. Devin Bush. Brian Burns. Montez Sweat. There's a so lot of good defensive
that
players.
Be more impactful than I think than a tight end. Especially for a team that, like, you've taken Brandon Pettigrew. You took Eric Ebron.
You blew
maybe
it.
Like take
did
up
you see Ebron laugh at like on Twitter? Like a lot of people were like, "Oh, Lions finally got a tight end." And he just put like the laughing emojis up there. Like, yeah, you guys fucked up. But and yeah, they took a linebacker
that no one really knew. And then so like that to me just doesn't seem like they're going to be much better.
No, nope.
Like I don't know. Do you think a rookie tight end and some random linebacker? Unless this linebacker is really good and we don't know it, but. And then you had the Bears draft, which was like nobody. Dave Montgomery, I really like.
Yeah, so I like that, Montgomery. They did end up getting Emmanuel Hala as an undrafted
free agent. Speedster. So that team is literally Trubisky. If Trubisky doesn't improve, that team's gonna have it.
Yeah,
it's
if,
gonna tra-
regress. If Trubisky's a quarter like an actual quarterback, that team's gonna be good for a long time.
Yeah, if he's
but
not,
if he's
they got
not,
problems.
Yep. And you know, even if Trubisky just keeps playing the way he has. They'll be a 10-6, 11-5 team.
They're going to be like the Vikings when we had like Ponder and like those kind of like, it's just you're kind of like treading water on offense, but your defense is so good. I don't know. Well, we were more like because we had Peterson.
Yeah.
But like, you're always going to be like a 500 team. I don't know.
The Packers,
are you talking about their draft?
I'm just going to go offseason as a whole. Because they improved. They improved as a whole the entire offseason. They had some good picks in the draft. They took Rashawn Gary.
Which is super high risk, but big reward if he pans out. Yep. If they can figure out a good role
and
for him.
And they traded up for Juan Thornhill.
Darnell Savage. Who we both really liked.
Yep, and that...
First safety taken, I think, in the draft.
Yeah, he was. So that's... it kind of...
And then in the second, they got...
Elgin Jenkins
on the offside line. And then they also had a Chase Sternberger. Who was a tight end that we really liked. So, I mean, if you look like you're talking about their whole offseason, they had two new safeties...
Yep.
Amos
and Savage.
And then they added...
Three new edge guys.
Preston Smith.
Zadarius Smith.
And then Rashawn Gary, who might kick down. I'm not sure where they're going to
put Gary. It sounds like they're going to start him at edge.
Yeah, linebacker.
Sounds like they'll kick Zadarius or Preston inside.
To try to... Oh, at linebacker? Yep. Inside linebacker? So, that's five new starters on that defense. So, they could be much improved. But then it is funny looking at, like, this is their offense. Like... They're just going to go with Davante Adams.
Yeah, I mean, the new guy must really like Scantling and
Geronimo
St. Brown.
Allison or, yeah, St. Brown or like, I mean, I know they added
lost Cobb, and they lost Cobb again, too.
It's like you look at the two teams and compare them. It's like we have Diggs, Thielen, they have Davante Adams, and then really nobody.
Scantling, I guess.
Their
you
running
could say.
Back is like fine, but he's not like amazing.
No.
For someone that clearly faces like, seven man in the box. He's not like super great.
Yeah, no. Aaron Jones is a good back, but he's not a game changer by any means.
Yeah, so I just think offensively we're better than them. They did add Jenkins and Sternberger, which should help. But like, how are we not better on both sides of the ball than them? They made a big improvements on defense, but there ain't no way they're gonna say your defense is better than ours.
Who is Patton?
It's Mike Patton. So yeah, they're doing a whole.
No, I are they playing? Still playing 3-4? Yeah, he's a 3-4 guy.
Yeah, 3-4. Yeah. Which, I mean, now you have Daniels, Kenny Clark, and then, I don't know if... I feel like Gary would work really good as a 3-4 edge.
I do, too.
End, but they want to put him as a rusher.
Yeah, it sounds like they just kind of want to move them all around.
Yeah, that's probably the best for him anyways. Yeah. And then they took all them corners last year. So, like, I don't know. That team should be getting a lot better.
Yeah, but I think it's smart of them to build the defense up around an aging Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if anything ever happens to his arm, at least he got a defense around him where, you know, he can make the throws, but he can't do what he can now.
Do more like the Brady Manning. Like, because Brady isn't, like... He's always been more of a, like, the best game, not, I don't want to say game manager, but, like,
but
making, like, huge random plays, broken plays. Like
I'd say game manager, but, like, not
in the best type of way
Exactly.
System quarterback.
He's the smartest quarterback out there. Like,
he gets the ball out quicker. It's almost like Breeze. Like, Breeze doesn't, like, run around and, like, make a play like Rodgers or Mahomes or these guys. They just always know where to go with the ball.
Yeah, and, like, Breeze has never been a guy to, sling it into a tight window.
Yeah, he's
you know
he's, again. He always
it's always like the perfect dude. Like the perfect pass. You know, the perfect slot. Just
so,
but no, I think
I just hope that their offense. I mean, they must think their offensive scheme change will help a lot, because like otherwise, if I mean Rodgers gonna get frustrated back there throwing a bunch of bums again.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're thinking defense this year, offense next year.
Yeah, but Rodgers ain't getting any younger. I mean, they gotta like build a winner now.
Yeah, because what, he's 37?
It means he was drafted the year after Rivers, Eli, Roethlisberger,
which is crazy.
Everyone's acting like those guys are on their last legs, and Rodgers is still in his prime. But it's like, dude, I don't think it's like he's got to be.
And the only reason why I think people don't put him in that group is because for 3 years he didn't play.
That's true. So he doesn't have like that tread on him. But you're still old. So
like your body's still getting fragile.
Just what happens if Davante Adams get hurt? Like that offensive, that passing game is going to be garbage. Jimmy Graham sucks. I mean, I don't know. So we'll see. Who do you think? I think they improved their team the most though.
Out of our division, yeah, definitely.
Well, because you wouldn't say us or the Bears because we were already like good.
I mean, so I think it goes Packers, Vikings, Bears, Lions.
I think the Lions did stuff to improve, but I don't like what they did. Like they added Trey Flowers, they added Jesse James. It's all kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, not.
It feels like a lot of we're gonna try to be the Patriots and we're gonna get these guys and they're gonna be.
Yeah, like, we're gonna pick up people. We're gonna pick up people's scraps and turn them into good players.
Or pay Patriot players like Trey Flowers huge contracts.
Yeah. And Jesse James huge contracts. Yeah. Did he get like 3 years, $28 million or something like that?
Yeah, he got far too much for being not good at football, which is why I was kind of like, oh, I guess you can't just make Rudolph take a pay cut because idiots like him or CJ Azuma are getting like $7 million a year. Yeah. So,
actually, Rudolph, great contract.
Yeah. Rudolph, great contract. One more year of Rudolph.
But I think the way the division probably plays out is Vikings, Bears, Packers. I think Packers will fight for a playoff wild card spot.
You have Rodgers.
I think the NFC North division is going to be very tight.
It's going to come closer together because I think the Bears are going to regress. Come on, you can't have Trubisky as your quarterback and win.
And they lost the best slot corner in the NFL. Callahan.
So and they replaced it with some bomb. I forget who it was, but the guy's terrible.
Yeah.
So, and they lost their D coordinator. That's the big loss.
Like, yeah, Vic Fangio, like he'd been there for 5 years. Yeah. He had coached that entire group of guys.
It's like when we lost Shermer. Like we have to like completely retool it.
Do you remember who their D coordinator is now?
He's good. Yeah, they signed a good one.
Oh, I know it.
You say you know it, but you haven't said it.
Hold on. Former coach, former head coach. Who did they bring in? They brought.
Let me see if I can find it before you figure it out.
You will. It's right on the tip of my tongue.
Chuck Pagano.
Yep, Pagano. I said that in an earlier episode.
Yeah, we had talked about that. It's but going back to the beginning of the Vikings offseason, people were saying there's no way we can be as good as we were last year, this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to lose Sheldon Richardson. You're, like, don't have any money to add people. But I feel like we did get better.
Definitely. Our offensive line
is
way better.
100% better.
Yep. Our defense
is technically slightly worse because you lost Sheldon, but you kept everybody else. You're getting Mike Hughes, who only played like 4 games. So
We got better.
Like, I think we did. I think Madison can be better than Murray.
I think
Irv Smith is a complete upgrade to, like, you know, like there's nothing else that was even there.
I think the subtraction of Richardson, but the additions of our offensive line 100%, make us better.
100%, yeah, I would say.
Because I mean,
what are our key losses? Richardson, Murray,
Sindejo.
I wouldn't call him. He didn't even play last year.
That's right, he didn't.
It was all Harris. I'm trying to think, like, who was impactful? I mean, because you got Remmers, Compton, all those guys. Like, they're all garbage. The only good players we lost were Murray and Richardson, I think. I know we lost our backup quarterback, but he looked awful. Compton, and our Remmers, key additions would be
no receivers,
Klein, Bradbury, Irv Smith, Madison, you know. So I think we overall got better. And you were 8-7-1. This roster's better than that.
Yeah. I mean, we're a year removed from the NFC title game with a better roster than we are going in. And even, is this roster better than it was the title year?
I don't know. Case Keenum. Yeah, it's better. What was our line that year?
Our line that year was Reef and Remmers at tackle.
Yep.
Elfline as a rookie at center. Who are our guards? Easton.
Berger.
And Berger.
You see the Saints, they drafted Eric McCoy after they signed Easton.
Yeah.
All those Saints fans kept giving everyone shit that would mock a center to them. We got Easton. What do you mean we got Easton?
Now you got a real center.
Yeah, now you have a real center. Like Easton would have been like, again, it's another one of those where we were like, oh, we'll take Easton back as like a depth piece or like maybe like the lower end guard. Like
yep.
Similar to what we talked about with the lineman that the Packers signed.
But then everyone else is like, oh, Easton, star center.
Star, yeah. Ugh.
It's like, oh, we got Billy Turner.
It's like cool. Easton or Brett Jones. I was fine. It's either one.
Yep.
Easton I probably would have slightly rather had.
Yep. But I think I would have rather had Easton, but yeah.
Come on.
Didn't Easton get 4 for 26?
He got like, because freaking Unger retired and like yeah. opened up caps for
him. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, we have a shit ton of money. Let's yeah. go blow it.
Let's go spend it on Easton.
Which is sad because that was the best available center. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. So
they probably were like, God, I wish he would have retired before Paredes signed.
Yeah, we're going to sign someone that's actually decent, Mitch Morse or something. Any other random draft things, non-Vikings, that...
Well, the Raiders taking Farrell at 4
yeah, was mind-boggling. Yeah, that was super surprising. The Daniel Jones thing was pretty surprising.
But otherwise, I think everyone drafted an All-Pro.
Yeah, everyone got a good player. Everyone's going to show up in the best shape of their life. It's going to be good. You know, everyone's out there winning. They did that.
Did you see Clemson University's athletic department was ecstatic that Dexter Lawrence went in the first round? Because Dexter Lawrence has no idea how he got the, what is it, Ostrin? It's a PED supplement.
Oh,
he
yeah.
has no idea how it got into his system. And then Dabo Swinney said maybe, he's like, I don't know how it would have happened, but maybe we accidentally gave it to a couple of our players.
So they were like worried about
yeah,
that.
So they were like, if Dexter Lawrence, like if the PED thing made him fall to like the third, fourth, yeah. fifth round, he would have came back and sued the university for hurting his draft stock.
I don't feel like anyone ever falls for that. Like,
I don't think
why
so.
Would you? What does that even matter? Who cares?
Exactly. It's like as
people
long
seem to fall more for like a injury, like something that's like, oh, this could be career threatening. Like Maurice Hurst?
Maurice Hurst. Yeah, and then Montez Sweat fell.
A little bit, yeah. He didn't fall
He didn't fall as much, so maybe that, like, well, it sounds like they misdiagnosed his heart.
Yeah, well, the day
instead
of
two times the size, it's only 1.5 times.
Yeah, it's within the normal range.
Which is weird. You know, if you have twice the size of a normal heart, doesn't that mean you're going to be better because you can give more effort?
I'm sure that's how the body works, though, right? You're not a
doctor. They always talk about heart, though. Yeah, this guy has twice as much than everyone else.
We're looking for players with big heart, you know?
All of a sudden, you got Sweat and Hurst.
Just everyone's got
it
a
just
heart
collapsed.
All right. Should we wrap it up? I think it's probably all the draft talk. You
yeah,
know,
I think
we'll
that's
probably
it.
Hit some more in the next, I don't know, week or two. We'll talk a little more. Talk more about the schedule that came out.
Yep, schedule.
You got the Thielen extension, but that's, you know, Thielen's awesome, you know.
Yeah, we'll talk about that stuff just to kind of fill
find out what the cap move is that we do to get underneath the cap, get Bradbury inside.
If that even has happened yet.
Yeah, maybe it's happened already. Yeah. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it happened while we were talking.
Oh, man.
Or maybe it won't happen and we'll just have him unsigned.
Or maybe it'll
happen. Here's the first cheap shot of Favre. An end around and they'd light up the quarterback.
Yeah. No who was flag. That, Adele? Who knew? Remy
the
Adele? No, Remy Adele. Three tack, isn't that the one?
I don't know who did it, but he's a piece
probably
of
Fujita, but
probably Fujita. Fuck Fujita.
Yeah, no, we'll figure it out. I was gonna say something, but then we watched.
And we saw Favre get lit up cheaply. Yeah.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, we'll. I don't know. We'll probably do these like maybe every other week or so.
Yeah, so. If something. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. We probably figure out the roster move tomorrow after the episode's out.
Yeah, because
that
exactly
seems to be the
happen.
Thing.
Yeah, we'll drop after that. But we'll do some. See what's happened at rookie camp. See who makes the. Because they do cut some people, right? It's like these guys made the tryout team.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've only got one open roster spot left, and we have 37 guys in this rookie tryout. So 36 guys are getting cut tomorrow.
Yikes.
And yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll watch an old Vikings game and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll watch this horrible Saints game.
No, maybe we won't watch this one.
Watch a fun one. Watch the Cowboy game that happened before this.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Look at
Harvin. Harvin was
God,
so
he was so exciting.
Yeah, Harvin was a good quality ball player. All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. You guys have a good one.
Record, right?
Or do stop, I get... stop.
You just play?
Stop or record, either one.
This is all staying in, just so you know.